1, verse number 8. We read together, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." Paul's saying, I don't want my situation to be absent from your mind. I don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble. And of course, he let us know some of his troubles. But he said, I would not have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us. Somebody say, we don't look for trouble, but trouble seems to find us, don't it? It seems to find us. That we were pressed. Everybody say pressed. That means you were weighed down, you were burdened down, mentally oppressed. And he said, out of measure. That means beyond what is normal, beyond the usual, above strength, that is beyond natural ability, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But how many knows God made the difference? Amen. This is not really a part two, but it may fit as a part two to what we spoke on Wednesday night. I'll be attempting to teach a lesson today on the subject, handling pressure. Handling pressure. And this is actually a leadership class that I taught my youth team. I don't know if it was this year or last year. So some of the things that I say today, I have said before. But I'm praying that the Lord would direct his word into our hearts. Amen. I believe the Lord has something to say to us in every service. Amen. This is a service, amen, of Sunday school. So let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're very glad to be able to come into a building, Lord, with air conditioning. And better than that, Lord, with people who love you, people who believe in you, people who trust you, people who have been proven and tried, and they are faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work that you are doing and are accomplishing in our lives today. Hallelujah, we are what we are by the grace of God. I pray, Lord, a special anointing upon Sunday school, upon not just the speaker, but the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This lesson is handling pressure positively. Not everybody deals with pressure the same way. Not everybody deals with problems the same way. But today we're going to look at some things in Scripture that not only give us detail of types of pressure, but also how to handle these pressures of life. And Paul, for one, said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength. In other words, it was beyond what we were able to handle by ourselves, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And how many knows there are some things that can come to you that you didn't or you will never have expected it. There are things that will come to your life that it just blow your mind. In fact, if you knew everything that you were going to have to face this year and next year and so forth, you might start making some plans and preparation right now. If you knew you had to deal with certain things, you would probably prepare for it. In fact, if you knew the storm was coming, you'd probably do something about it. Am I right? But the sad thing, the challenging thing, is we don't know when the storm's coming. We just really don't know. God doesn't tell us, okay, boys, there's a storm that you're going to have to go through on your way to that island over there. He just says, go to that island. Or he just says, go here and do so and so. Do thus and so. He doesn't tell you or share with you the process and the problems and what you're going to be up against. But how many knows that he is with us everywhere that we go? So if you want to be a successful leader, a mature Christian, and I'm speaking to all of us, we need to understand that pressures, difficulties, stresses, problems, they will come. And we must be able to handle them positively in the right manner. We as leaders do not have to fail because of problems and struggle and difficulty and offense and hurt and pain and pressure. We do not have to fail in the midst of these difficult situations. Pressure means the stress or urgency of matters demanding attention, the burden of physical or mental distress, things that weigh upon you, that oppose you. How many understands what pressure is? For example, just in my way of understanding pressure, if I am walking in a certain direction and something opposes me from continuing in that direction at that pace, then I would label that as pressure. It may be a financial difficulty. It may be a sickness. It may be someone mistreating me. It may be a devil, a spirit that is opposing me and what I'm trying to do in the Lord. So there are many types of pressures. How many know that to be true? There are many types of pressures in life. And especially if you're going to live a life dedicated to God. So if you and I learn how to properly deal with life's pressures, we will not only become strong ourselves, but we will also help those who are watching us, and we will help those who are following us. Everybody is leading somebody, either to heaven or to hell. And so if we learn how to deal with life's pressures and problems, if we deal with them right, in an appropriate manner, then we will bless those who are following us. We will bless those and encourage those and give hope to those that look to us for leadership and for guidance and for counsel. In fact, when you endure hardness and you can survive and even thrive in spite of pressure, you acquire what we call a testimony. After you've been tested and you've endured it and you've made it through, you now have a testimony. Amen? And through the testimony, you now give confidence and hope to other people who may be struggling with the same situation that you've just survived or made it through. Hello. So our testimonies preach and teach others that they can make it in their problem, in their pressure, in their situation. In fact, and I wrote this down this morning, we learn to respond as we grow and understand ourselves and as we understand the Word of God and as we understand God Himself. And we understand the people that we're dealing with. In fact, you respond differently when you're mature than you did when you were a younger person. Am I right? In fact, when someone took something very precious to me when I was a young lad. That was my toy, even though my daddy bought it or my mama bought it or someone gave it to me or I found it in the neighbor's yard. That was my toy. And if someone come along and took that toy from me, that causes tension. And as a younger person, I wanted to get my toy back very quickly. In fact, I didn't want any fingerprints other than mine on that toy. My toy. You can't have my toy. You can't even play with my toy. You could just look at it as I play with it. Can you believe I heard this statement today from a young lady, young girl? She said, I like it when people get jealous. I'm like, what? In fact, this young girl was eating an ice cream. She was eating an ice cream, and she told me, this little 8-year-old girl told me, I like it when people get jealous. I'm like, that is so immature, isn't it? It's so immature, it's so childish to want to get something or do something or become someone just to make someone else jealous. We're pressured into doing things and behaving ways that are very childish and very immature. But when you grow up as a Christian and you mature as a man and woman of God, you begin to respond differently to situations. In fact, you would tell them, go ahead, keep my toy. If you like it, you can have it. Because we've learned it's better to give than it is to receive. And you're never more like Jesus when you become a giver. Somebody said amen. That's just a little pressure. That's not a big pressure. That's a little pressure. But there are things that we have faced already as a congregation, as a church, that have put pressure on us. In fact, because of pressure, some people have made some bad choices. Some people have decided to not give as much because of the economy pressure and the pressure against their pocketbook and their bank account. So they've made a decision not to give as liberally as before. You see, that's a very childish reaction. It's not a response of faith and that of trust. I'm just giving you some examples here in this lesson. Because as leaders, we need to learn how to respond to pressure. Amen. How many knows that this church has faced a lot of pressure? And we have struggled through some things, but God is with us. He is with us right now. Somebody look at another person and tell them, God is with us right now. Hallelujah. And that is my confidence. And of course, I observe my own life and I realize that there are times where I don't handle pressure the right way. To give you an example, there's something in my genes, something in my genetics, something in my blood that I inherited from my father. And it causes me to react a certain way to certain situations which put pressure on me and aggravate me, make me uncomfortable. For example, there are certain buttons you can push in our lives. And rather than properly respond to them, we will simply react. A lot of times we react angrily. And we don't take time to take it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord first before responding. There's been times where I've took matters into my own hands. And boy, did it backfire. And it was very hard to find peace in that situation. So God wants us to understand the difference between a proper response and a reaction of our humanity. Amen. Let me give you some realities here. Some realities concerning pressure. Are you ready? All right. Pressures will yield or generate a positive outcome if we respond correctly. Secondly, God allows pressure into our lives for a purpose or for a particular reason. It might be that God wants to shape something in your life, develop something in your life that is not yet developed. Amen. Pressure or test, or pressure tests us and proves the strength and the resiliency of our being, our person, our character, or our qualities. They prove our strength. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity or hardship, then your strength is small. Proverbs 24 and 10. If you faint, or if you become weak till you just lose it in the day of your adversity, your opposition, your hardship, then he says your strength is small. And if your strength is small, guess what? You're probably going to have to go through some more tests to increase your level of strength. Because God does not want his people to remain strengthless or in a weakened condition. I'm not here today speaking in this mic and living the Christian life that I'm living because of my looks, because of my heritage. I'm living this life today, and I'm where I'm at today because I have went through a lot of stuff, a lot of pressure. Amen. I'm not here today because of all the good times. I mean, that is part of the equation. But I'm still here today because of all the rough times and all the pressure, because these things have helped shape me and make me what I am today. So, if you're going through pressure, if you're going through a problem, if you're struggling with some big issue or little issue, it is agitating, it is aggravating you, it is bothering you on a regular basis, realize that you can take that situation to God in prayer, and your answer may come in the form of another believer. In fact, and I know this to be true, sometimes we get alone with God and we feel that that is sufficient enough to handle life's problems and situations and pressures and hurts and offenses. And we may not take into consideration that God's answer may be in the form of a fleshly being like yourself. In fact, God may send another person to be the answer or the solution to your problem. And he might have a word of comfort, a word of encouragement for you and your dilemma. Somebody say amen. So, learn not to isolate yourself and lick your wounds and pout and cry when you're suffering and when you're struggling. And when you're under the pressure, learn to take it to the Lord in prayer, and learn to include somebody in your struggle. In fact, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I have a little weight bench at home. You can tell I don't use it a lot. And I don't have any membership at any gym or fitness center, not anymore. So if I do any kind of workout, it's at home. And but there are some weights that are so heavy that I just can't do it by myself. And sometimes I'm in a weakened condition that I need what we call a spotter. How many knows what a spotter is? You're there and you're trying to press that weight, and maybe you've pressed it once and twice, but that third time that right arm begins to give out, or that shoulder gives out. But thank God there's somebody there that can help pull that weight off of you. Amen. We need people of God in our lives that have the same faith, that love the same God. Amen. That have been where we are, and they know how to help us when the pressure's on. Amen. I'm so glad that I've got mentors and peers and brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that I can talk to them in confidence and even confess weakness or fault to them and know that they will pray with me, and together we will overcome the pressure. Somebody said amen. Pressure teaches us to trust and to rely upon God. His wisdom, His grace, His love, His mercy, His power. Pressure will make you or it will break you. Pressure, this is reality. Pressure tends to reveal, expose internal content. You never know that you have an anger problem until somebody pushes that button. You never know how you would react to a situation or respond to a situation until that situation comes into your life. Is that right? We would say, well, Lord, I would never do that. Oh, I would never go there. I would never cheat or steal or lie or cuss. And I would just, I would never speed or, I would never do anything unlawful or unholy or unrighteous or, I would never look a second time. No, come on, huh? Hello. No, not me. Holy, 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 holy. Come on, somebody. Holy. Yeah. Your flesh ain't holy. If there's anything holy, it's by the Holy Ghost that is working in you. Amen. Somebody said, praise God. Where was I? Let me get back to where I'm at. I don't want to give you a shotgun lesson here, just scatter a bunch of stuff out. So this is what I was talking about. It reveals and it exposes internal content. You don't know yourself, not really, until you've been put under pressure. Is that right? How many has learned some things about yourself when you've been in a struggle and you've been under pressure? I've learned that I've still got anger in my human body, in my flesh. I've learned that I can react the wrong way, in an improper, unchristian way, if the wrong button is pushed. I've learned that about myself. You see, if the internal content is never revealed and never exposed, you and Jesus will never deal with it. And if you never deal with it, you'll never grow through it. You'll never overcome it. You'll never become what God wants you to become, because you'll always be in that condition. Amen. In fact, under pressure is what we find that we're really made out of. What we're really made out of. What's on the inside of us will be revealed. Pressure can demote you or it can promote you. It's based on your life before the pressure comes, and it's based on your response while under pressure. Let me give you an example. The same flood, the same storm, the same water that drowned the whole earth, that covered the whole earth, that demoted the whole earth, that demoted all flesh, is the same water that elevated Noah and his family. You see, some people are demoted under pressure, and some people are promoted in their pressure. Hello? So we may be going through the same thing, but what matters is your life before the pressure and your attitude while under pressure, because truly your attitude can determine your altitude. Amen. And I want a Christ-like attitude. Somebody said, praise God. Some examples. Jesus was faced with pressure immediately following his baptism. After the baptism in the Jordan, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit, not the devil. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Why the wilderness? Why temptation? Why difficulty? Why the trial? Why all this pressure? He was led of the Spirit. And he went into this place of solitude in this deserted wilderness, And while he was there, the Bible says that he was tempted of the devil. And during his temptation, to top it off, he began his fast, 40 days and 40 nights. You're talking about pressure. You got physical pressure. Now you got emotional or spiritual pressure on top of that. And so, talking about a double whammy, he's suffering in the flesh, and now he's suffering in his mind. Because how many knows the devil attacks your mind? If he can't get your body, he's going to get your mind. That's why we have the power to cast down imaginations and tear down strongholds. And those strongholds are usually in our mind. Hello? Amen. You might look good on the outside and smile and look pretty and smell good and dress right, but you could be struggling under a satanic attack in your thought life. Amen. I'm telling you, you can overcome it. Amen. Why do you say that, Brother Sapp? Because I have overcome it. And I know if God can help me overcome my situations and my struggles and my thoughts and the devil's thoughts which come into my mind occasionally, then I know that God can help you. And God can help the person sitting beside you. There's been times on my job I thought I was literally going to lose my mind. I am serious. I thought I was literally going to lose my mind. I thought that I was totally destined for hell. I was totally backslid, but it was all in my mind. I thought that I must have made a mistake by thinking that I really had the Holy Ghost. I had to put up with that in my mind, those evil imaginations. And it's not necessarily sinful imaginations. It's imaginations or things that are contrary to the knowledge of God. Unbelief is an evil imagination. Hello? Because when the ten came back, they came back with an evil report. And the report is, there's giants in the land and we're not strong enough. We're grasshoppers. We're just not able to do that, to live that life and to overcome those giants. Hello? So their evil report became an evil imagination in the nation of Israel or in the people of God at that particular time. Amen. But after the temptation, after the trial, after the fasting, after confrontation with Satan, Jesus came out of that pressurized situation full of power of the Holy Ghost, and through suffering it led him into his destiny and into his ministry. So don't avoid the suffering, the struggle, the pressure, because God might be using that to shape you and to put you into your ministry. Come on, wave your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. There's a reason why you're under pressure right now. Maybe God wants you to know what is inside of your heart, because if you don't know what's inside your heart, you will never take it to the Lord in prayer. And if you never take it to the Lord in prayer, then you won't get anywhere. Somebody said amen. Touch somebody next to you. Say, he's teaching today. Amen. I'm going to have to skip. Because of time, I'm going to have to skip a lot of this stuff. You know, you can read the Bible. The Bible's full of people that were under pressure. Let me read something to you in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in fact. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Here we go. In verse number 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side. Now, you might be feeling good right now, and this may not really help you right now, but there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to wish you would have paid attention. I think it's a good idea if God gives you some advice before you go into your storm to help prepare you. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It's kind of like you're in a boxing arena. And it doesn't matter how good you are. chances are you're probably going to get hit. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many has ever been in a fight, a physical fight, dog fight, cat fight, a bar fight? No, don't raise your hand. That was B.C., before Christ. I don't carry knives anymore, hallelujah. They might take it from me and stab me. All right. But you know that if you're in a fight, you're probably going to get hit. Even if you get the best of the other individual, you're probably going to leave with a bruise, with loss of sweat, loss of hydration, loss of energy, maybe even a headache. That's what I used to hate. After the fight was over and I would sit down, it's like, ooh. Then there's this heaviness and this headache and this, like, this trauma. And I'm like, oh, did I win? And this overwhelming feeling comes over you. You see, we are in a fight to live and to represent Jesus Christ every day. Aren't we? We are in a fight for our lives and for the faith that we so dearly believe in. The faith that was delivered unto the saints. In fact, the scripture says contend for that faith. That means you got to fight. You got to keep your faith right. Keep your attitude right. Keep your spirit right. Submit yourself. Somebody said praise God. Verse 10, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Notice he didn't say you're bearing in your body a dead Jesus. No, I don't carry a dead Jesus. Read the scripture. We're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How many knows it was his flesh that died? But that anointing never died. That power never died. That strength never died. That faith never ceased. It never gave in. It never quit. But there was a lot of things that he did suffer, but he suffered it in the flesh. And we bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, that the life, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body, the life of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Come on, the nature, the attitude, the mind of Jesus. His life. It needs to be manifest through our mortal body. And that will not happen unless we learn obedience through the things which we suffer. Somebody said, praise God. All right, let me wrap this up here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. For this cause we faint not. We don't faint. Even though our outward man perisheth, our inward man is renewed day by day. I've heard people tell me, Brother Sapp, I don't see how you do it. Because they know some of the things that I've had to walk through. They have known of some of the valleys that I have been through. And they have looked at me and they said, Brother Sapp, I don't see how you do it. And I want to tell you this. I don't see how I can do it either. I just know that God is with me. And if Christ can do it, I can do it. Not in the flesh, but I do it because Christ is in me. And I want to tell somebody right now, the Christ in you is big enough. The Christ in you is powerful enough. The Christ in you is bold enough. Amen. He's got enough power. He's got enough faith. Amen. He's got the ability. He's got the character to deal with the pressure. That's why we carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Because we can't handle everything in the flesh. We've got to take it to Jesus. Amen. Jesus is fearless. Jesus is fearless. Something the Lord said to me recently in prayer has helped me Now, I've got it in my mind. I've just got to start living it out, embodying this revelation. The Lord let me know in prayer some time ago, and the reason why I think he revealed this to me is because oftentimes I struggle. There are times where I'm afraid. Anybody ever been afraid? There's times where I get intimidated. There's times where I feel weak and incapable. There's times where I don't feel adequate. There's just a lot of weakness or insufficiencies in me, in my humanity. Sometimes I lack confidence and I lack boldness. Sometimes I don't feel brave enough. And the Lord let me know just some time ago in prayer that I'm bold enough. I have the courage. I have the power. I am fearless. Nothing moves me. And that let me know that what I can't do in the flesh, I can do in the spirit. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. How can you be so bold? Because I'm doing it in the spirit. How can you be so brave? How can you be so focused? How can you be so sure? How can you be so in such a right mind? And how can you have the character and the attitude of Jesus Christ? Because I'm not walking after the flesh, but I'm walking after the Spirit. And the Spirit can do anything. The Spirit can do all things. The Spirit can keep a right attitude, even, amen, when his flesh is being crucified. Talking about dealing with pressure, Jesus Christ knows how to deal with your pressure. He knows how to deal with your stress. He knows how to deal with your anxiety. But you'll never know what he's able to do if you don't give it to him. That's why the Bible teaches that we cast our care upon him. I cast my care upon the Lord. I looked that up. That means you give him your anxieties and you give him your stresses. You give him what you're worried about. You give him what you're thinking about. Amen. You give him what you're fearful of. Amen. You give him what you can't accomplish. You give it to the Lord over and over and over and over and over and over and over, because you might be consumed with a situation and you take it to the Lord in prayer and you get peace about it, and all of a sudden you start walking, you know, just walking and kind of swinging and just doing your thing like everything's going all right, and everything is going all right and might be going all right, but all of a sudden phase two, more pressure. The same God that helped you in the first trial will help you in the second trial. The first God, amen, amen, the Lord that helped you in your first problem of anger and stress and anxiety, if he helped you one time, he'll help you again. Brother Robert, I want you to look at Alberta and tell her. Say, Jesus can help you. Let's stand to our feet today. Amen. But you'll never know what you and Jesus are able to do, what you're able to accomplish, if you don't learn to take it to him in prayer. Now, I've got done with page one, and I don't have time for page number two, but I think you get the general idea of what this lesson is saying today. Is this all right so far? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's working for us. It's working for me. That situation, it's working out for you. You don't see it, but it is. Hallelujah. It's working out. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's preparing and producing something in you that is glorious. The glory always comes after the pressure, after the trial, after the test. If you don't know what to do with what you are going through, take it to Jesus and he will see you through. Amen. I'm not Johnny James, but that did sound pretty good. Brother Johnny James said, "If what did he say? Some of you could probably tell me. If you want to get to it, you got to go through it." Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we love you. We're thankful to be in a place where we can get help, that we can be in your presence and know that you love us and that you care for us and you have the answer. You are the solution to what we're facing right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody just cast that care upon the Lord right now. Realize that the olives can never produce oil unless they're pressed. Come on, somebody. That grape can never produce wine unless it's crushed. Amen. But I'm telling you, something beautiful is coming out of all this pressure. Something glorious is being made of your life and my life because we're enduring this hardness as a good soldier. And we're learning to depend upon Jesus. And we're getting some endurance. And we're getting stronger. Amen. Our pressure is making us powerful. And we're going to do great things for the kingdom of God and for the name of Jesus. Would everybody clap your hands? Amen. God bless you. In Jesus.